Hi, this is Brian Smigat with the Alpha Venture Podcast. I'm with Jeff Parkinson of KEC Ventures. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Great. So in this podcast, we interview VCs about category-leading companies that they discovered and helped grow. And Jeff's got a great story here today, a company called Books. But starting off, Jeff, do you want to tell us about the mission and the mandate of KEC?
Yeah, KEC's ever evolving, I would say, in terms of the focus and the themes that we're most interested in. But just generically, we are a seed stage fund in New York City. We will focus on leading the investment rounds that we make, and so we tend to write, call it $750,000 to $1 million checks into usually between $1.5 to $3 million seed rounds, and we will take be the investor of record, if you will, and take the lead on those, and try to work very closely with the companies to help them build up to their short-term goals of being a Series A, becoming a Series A company, and then much longer vision of becoming a large enterprise. And so, as I said, thematically, we kind of are always moving a little bit, but have out of this fund been pretty heavy in retail and media with some enterprise software baked in there as well.
Great. And I'm Brian Smigat from Alpha Venture Partners, and we invest typically in later stage companies, and we partner with today over 200 early stage funds like KEC to be their opportunity fund in the larger later stage rounds where they may not be able to participate because the rounds get too big. We've done that 10 times in the last 4 years, and we're really loving it. We share the upside with the Source VC. So let's talk about Books. Books is a great e-commerce company. Let's talk about, first of all, how did you discover it? And tell us about the origin story of the company and how you found it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, despite being a seed stage company, seed stage fund, there's actually funds that invest before us. And so those tend to be, angels or dedicated pre-seed funds. And so we spent a lot of time actually in front of those groups, letting them know what we're interested in. And Books was one of those that came through one of the pre-seed investors out in Los Angeles, and so that was where the introduction came from. And they had a really unique story. I think generally investors have been fairly averse to what's gone on in the flower industry, and Books is a direct-to-consumer flower company. There's been no shortage of pretty well-known failures along the way. It's been a hard industry to really generate margin on. You're starting to see consolidation at the top. And so looking at it at the surface, it's not necessarily the most sexy industry for venture capitalists to jump into, but there was something really different about this company. And one was the founding team, which was a very, very unique story. They were two college roommates at Notre Dame. One had grown up on an Ecuadorian flower farm and had come to the States for college. And then the other one had, went on after college to have a much more, operational and big media focused, career. And so the CEO was a Bain consultant, and then was at Disney, which is arguably the best brand of the last several decades. And so the two of them coupled together, where you had one person who really understood how businesses operate, understood how big brands were built and how those operated, and then on the flip side, you had somebody who had grown up on a flower farm in South America and understood, how that ecosystem worked. And so they looked at, I don't want to give the exact time it was, but roughly 5-6 years after college, came back and said, the founder that had grown up in Ecuador came and said, hey, there's a really unique opportunity where these flower farmers down in South America are looking, for more channels to get their product to to the states and elsewhere, without having to take the margin hit that they do going through traditional channels. And so they'd come up with this idea to take, to basically go down to South America, put an iPad on these flower farms down there, create an order management system that allowed them to go directly from flower farm to consumer and cut out all of the, you know, the four or five additional middlemen in that business. And, you know, on the back of that could create flowers that were showing up at people's doorsteps within days of being cut as opposed to weeks, and also be able to do that at a margin that made a lot of sense. And, you know, John, the CEO, knew how to go out and really brand that business. And so that's what we got excited about and ultimately made the investment.
That's great. So this company had these complementary founders with complementary skills who had a deep bond, and that was part of the story. Where did they inflect early in their life to start to get on a track where they were going to crush it in the flower business?
Well, you know, it's actually a funny story there. So, I mean, very early on, they were able to get just on the back of the story and putting out some interesting content. They got, you know, they got some really solid user adoption. But the, you know, it's the funny inflection point in this business is they were actually Shark Tank participants, and so they went on to Shark Tank and received no funding from any of the sharks. And oddly enough, you can see where Cuban has gone back and said that was the biggest mistake he's made as a shark, was not investing in in this company. And actually later on, one of the sharks, Robert Herjavec, came back and invested in the Series C round, I think it was. So it was a funny dynamic, but everybody said, hey, the name makes no sense, you know, B-O-U-Q-S, what does that mean? But there's, John has a great story on why he named it the Books. And they said, you know, the flower, everybody knows how treacherous the flower business is, and who the hell would go and start a company in this space. But on the back of that, as everybody now knows, in a lot of the startup community and direct-to-consumer businesses realized, by going on to Shark Tank, you get a ton of eyeballs. And so, you know, coming out of that, they ended up with more demand than they could ever fulfill. And, you know, went out pretty shortly after that and raised, you know, a subsequent round. And it's been a pretty big rocket ship ever since that point in time.
That's great. I love that you were the shark's biggest regret, the one that got away.
Exactly.
So were any key people added to the team in that time frame that really made a difference?
Yeah, you know, they've picked up a number of people who have been really useful to them. That said, I think every there's been a lot of people who are really key in that point in time. And then I think, as we all see in the startup industry, usually at a certain point of the startup's growth trajectory, you just need, you know, people who are really good at you know, building a market, you know, marketing, technology, or sales, or any you know, key function in these startups at the seed and Series A stage. Generally, it's just that's what they're good at. And when the company becomes a Series B and C and beyond company, as the Books is now, you outgrow those people. So at any key point in time, we've brought in amazing people for the stage that the company's at, and in every functional area that you can think of. And for the most part, now that we're becoming, you know, much more of a growth stage company, you know, you're starting to see them go from kind of the startup hustle mentality people to people that have, you know, really built growth stage sustainable businesses over time. And so there's been a number of people there, but now this team that they have, I would say that's mostly been on for, you know, the core C-level, VP level people have been on for the last 18 months. This is now a big time team that gets paid like a big time team to continue to grow a scaling business. And so that's, you know, at any point in time, we've had really great people, and those change, and we're at this next stage of people that we're really excited about.
Has the company continued to make a difference to the farmers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the throughput, even more so, right? I mean, obviously, as you know, it starts out as this great story as we're growing, you know, flowers on the side of a volcano, and then you have to really operationalize that. And some people want, you know, traditionally it was, hey, you know, if it's 3, 4, 5 day lead time to get your flowers because you're not, the company wasn't built to be like your, oh no, I forgot, you know, my wife's birthday, and so I need to run out and buy flowers. But it was really built with, you know, subscription in mind and kind of a little bit longer lead time. You know, people who wanted flowers just consistently in the house, obviously around gifting. But for these holidays that you were, it's not like Valentine's Day sneaks up on you, right? You're pretty aware of it. And so the mentality early on from South America was, hey, we can get flowers to you with 3-5 day lead times. Now, you know, as you become a much larger company and there's a lot more demand, you know, you have to set up operations to be able to get flowers overnight. And so the farm expansion has been pretty dramatic since when they started. But yeah, the throughput that they're giving, you know, most of these farmers is a channel that, you know, they couldn't imagine living without at this point.
And KEC's role, I know it was critical in being an early funder and governance and getting the company, you know, to that Series B round. But what would you describe as the big value adds from KEC that you feel most good about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a number of things, right? I mean, we've been on at the board level since the beginning, and so there have been a number of big, hard strategic questions that have to get answered. That we've played a pretty big role in. You know, every time that you come to a new financing round, kind of a hustle to figure out who the optimal investors are for the company, and trying to make introductions there and trying to be a brand ambassador for the company to the venture community where we have deep relationships. And then on top of that, have sourced a few of their C-level hires in the past. And, some of those people have the company's outgrown and they've moved on, but were critical people at a point in time. And so it's one of those that, we feel like we've worked really hard with and have built, you know, a great relationship with the founders. There's a lot of trust, and so on the back of that, we can be really helpful.
So the women in your life,
the company at every stage,
the women in your life have been a beneficiary too, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the beautiful things they have in there is the just because flowers. So why go in and I set up my subscription at the beginning of the year to ensure, you know, my wife and mother get flowers on the important days of the year. I can also do the just because flower where, you know, on some random day throughout the year, it just shows up and I look like a hero because there was no special occasion, but they got flowers, and so the Books allows me to be a hero that one day or 2 days or 3 days a year, depending on what I do over the course of the year to look really good.
So I hope everybody's listening is going to go and set up a subscription. I know I am. That's great. What's the exit for a company like this? What's the harvest, do you think? And not that you can talk about the ultimate exit, but what's your expectation as an investor?
Yeah, look, I think the world, these what have been coined, I think, more recently as digitally native vertical brands have a lot of applicability to a number of players at a certain amount of scale, and the Books is certainly getting close to that scale where, this stuff starts to really matter. We figure for these brands at $100 million of annual revenue, people start to really pay attention. And so I think you could look at the industry itself where the margin accretion to any of the large established players who've been consolidating anyway is pretty interesting. I think if you look at some of the large, you know, big box retailers that are trying to innovate and change the way they approach the market as they're getting as they're facing a lot of existential threat from the large e-commerce players are interesting in this area. And obviously, you know, Walmart's made fired the biggest shot with Jeff, but you know, Target and some of these other guys need to think about how they reorganize their stores and just their brand itself. And then, you know, you look at the biggest e-commerce players out there, and those groups are trying to, you know, dominate the world, not the least of which is Amazon, and you know, owning more and more of the inventory as opposed to being a marketplace is pretty interesting to them. And so, yeah, I think we've got 18 months to really knock this out of the park, and I think gets you're on a lot of people's radar, and it starts to get pretty interesting at that point.
That's great. And so as an investor, you must have taken something away from this investment, a key learning that you, Jeff, personally acquired. What would you say that is?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think the thing from this one I would say is when we started investing in retail and e-commerce businesses, you know, it was, everybody says, oh, these are tech-enabled companies, and you kind of look at the technology and say this is a bit of an afterthought. It just has to work. And the most important thing is that people love the product and that you have good marketing and branding. But the reality is, tech is every bit as important in these businesses as it is in software companies, enterprise software companies. At the end of the day, the features and functionality can only be that really make you a market leading company have to be built on the back of world class technology, and it can't be an afterthought. And so I think as we look at other e-commerce companies going forward, another check mark on our diligence box is how good is the technology and the architecture of the systems? How scalable is it? When is it going to break? Because it's going to break. It's just when, and understanding that. And so I think seeing a company go from zero to this scale has it's been a shining lesson there.
That's great. So you're ready to take it to some other, do you have some other emerging digitally native e-commerce companies in your holdings?
Yeah, we do. We have I think five companies. The Books would be the second largest in scale, only behind what's now Textile, which was formerly known as Just Fab and Fabletics. But yeah, there's a couple other. We have one in the jewelry market that's getting pretty good scale now. We have one that's in the confectionery market that's starting to get some pretty good scale as well. And one other one that's just a little bit younger than those, but certainly it's certainly been a topic at the board level in each of those companies, and certainly a critical diligence point for us. And as we look at new and upcoming businesses,
that's great. So it becomes a theme, and you guys get deeper expertise, and then you probably attract the best deals. I hope you'll keep us in mind when those companies raise their Series C and D rounds, if there's room for us. Really nice story. I think we'll leave it there. And just in closing, what level of subscription? What's the best product on the Books for our listeners?
I think to go in and do the Let Us Make. They have a piece called Let Us Make It Great, I think is the actual component of it. So rather than you kind of thumbing through and trying to decide whether you want daisies or roses or anything else, let them just make it great, and it turns out pretty amazing every time.
All right, so there we go. So go to the Books and order Let Us Make It Great and get out of the doghouse or celebrate the holidays.
Exactly.
Jeff, it was great having you today, and thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Enjoyed it.
Okay, great. I'm going